Now at McDonald's, a sausage McMuffin is only $1.50. So stop dreaming about breakfast sausage and go get it. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, fourth and final hour on a Monday. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise with you. Coming up at 10 o'clock, we will hand the baton off to Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe for another edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase. And right now, one-third of that show is with us. Darren McFarland here to talk Preds for a couple of minutes. D-Mac, happy Monday. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, morning crew. How you doing?
We are doing well. So let's try to make sense of what we're seeing the last couple of games. You know, at one point we're looking at the Preds 3-1. Since then, now a record of 4-4, picking up a total of I believe 3 points combined in the last four games, and a couple of lethargic performances against lesser competition. What are you seeing with your eyes on the ice for the recent slide?
Let me just say this, Nick. I got to give you a hats off on the little deep dive into Saturday night hockey with the Predators. I mean, look at you.
You like that?
Up with,
he's got no life, Darren.
Certified loser, Darren.
Like, wow.
I've got nothing
that
to
was
do.
Impressive. It's unfortunate, but those stats were true. And yeah, in fact, I felt that way a lot last year. I was like, man, what is it about Saturday nights?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it ever comes together in a W, and certainly that's played out again this year. You know, it goes back to, yeah, I think you guys have already made some good points this morning when talking about the Predators. I think Braden made a good point about, look, you can't play from behind all the time. Like, it's nice. And I remember last week I came on and told you guys, like, look, this team is the best third period team in the league. Well, that continues to be that way. It's like not even close. They have 19 goals in the third period, which is not even – second place has 12, which is great, right? Which means you can provide comeback. You have that spark, that energy when you need it. But the problem is, kind of going back to what I said before, a lot of those cases is because you're constantly battling back and from behind. And that's a recipe in an 82-game season for disaster. It's just going to end poorly more times than not. You don't want to be playing from behind all the time. It's great that you have the firepower to come back, and it's great when you do have those sweet victories like the Washington Capitals win, when you're down two goals and you come back and get a big thrilling win over Washington. Man, it almost happened in Los Angeles, but like I said, in a body of work over 82 games, if you're constantly playing from behind and playing catch up, it's just going to get you. Now, you know, when you ask what concerns me right now, obviously there still are no concerns on offense. Right now, the power play, we talked about all last year, ad nauseum. Well, we're not talking about the power play unless we're saying really good things. To me, what's jumping out is something we've rarely talked about. Forget just like this little five-year window. Rarely talk about in Predators franchise history. They have always been good, for the most part, on the penalty kill. As a body of work, as entire from franchise day one to where we are, and the penalty kill has been a huge struggle this year. I mean, they are currently 30th in the league. I mean, there's only one other team, and that team is in their division, that's worse than them at killing off penalties, and that's Winnipeg. So currently the Predators are operating at about 65% of killing off penalties. They've given up 9 power play goals, which is tied for the most goals given up power play-wise in the league. So they obviously have to get better when they're down a man. It's tough. It's a tough job. But like I said, it's unfamiliar territory for us to be talking about a penalty kill unit that's struggling like this, because it's second to last in the league, and they've always been traditionally very good over the years. Last year, they were 6th in the league. The year before that, they were 6th in the league. So they've done it at a high clip before. For whatever reason, it hasn't translated the first 8 games.
8 games, 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points. That is one Kyle Turris. What do you make of his play? Because he's really, it seems like he's put last season behind him.
That was a pretty sweet goal Saturday night, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, my God.
That goal to tie it up, that power play goal in the third period, there wasn't a lot there. And Kyle Turk still found it when he roofed it. And, yeah, Derek, I mean, look, if there's anybody, and here's just to peel the curtain back, because you guys experience this too. You get to have conversations with listeners, mm-hmm. and you get to, you know, tell people about stuff that we talk about on the air. And I kind of talked about it a lot last year about people don't understand that players, professional athletes, lose confidence. I mean, we all can lose confidence, right? We can lose confidence in what we do. Any job, you can lose confidence. And when you lose confidence, it affects how you operate, no matter what you do. And people think because you make millions and you play at the highest level, well, you're a robot. Like, you have no feelings. You have confidence through the roof, which you do. You have to have confidence through the roof to play at that level. But players lose confidence. It happens. Derek, you can speak on it. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think you did.
Yeah, he's never lost it. He's never lost confidence ever, Derek. Darren.
Nope.
It's never happened.
You're not a great example, but you know you played with plenty of guys that lost
confidence. Of course.
Well, D-Mac, I'm a great example. I lose confidence every time my wife walks in the door at work at 5:30 p.m. I mean, I just shrivel up.
Well, it's actually at 3:30 when the kids get off the bus. Yes. He goes from grown adult man to small child.
Exactly.
And then the wife just puts him out of his misery when the wife gets
right. Home. Look at confident Radio Nick, and then he goes home, Nick. I mean, it's two different guys, right? It happens.
Absolutely. D-Mac. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
D-Mace. It's all about confidence, man. He's got it back, and you get that swagger, and you start feeling it, and good things happen.
Darren, great stuff as always. We'll see you coming up in less than an hour. Thank you.
Sounds good, boys. Have a good final hour.
You got it. Darren McFarland, of course, Darren Donick and Chase, Predators Radio Network. Yeah, it's true. 3:30, boom, confidence gone. 5:30, confidence way gone.
I'm like, man, your confidence is on high when you leave here. It's like, yeah, baby. And you get home, and then you look at the clock, and it says 3:25, and all of a sudden it starts to string.
No, as soon as he hears the door jangle,
no, he hears the brakes on the school bus. You know those brakes are always squeaky, you know? Like, you can hear the squeaky brakes of a school bus.
And all of
like,
a sudden it's just...
He hears that door open.
He buttons up the chin strap. He tightens up his gloves. He's got the whole thing ready.
Wow. 7:30 p.m., get in the fetal position, start sucking my thumb, I'm done.
I will say, spending essentially every minute of the last weekend, 48 hours straight, taking care of the kids. My wife had some family stuff she had to do. I have an unbelievable amount of respect for people who are in childcare, because I got to about 6 o'clock yesterday, and I had no more nerve endings. They were all gone. Like, everything was gone. And thank God the Titans won the game, because I was sitting there watching the Titans game trying to keep two small humans from killing each other, and I'm just going, please just stop them on fourth down here, on third down, whatever it was. I have so much respect for people that take care of children. It's a labor of love, and, man, it's hard. It is hard taking care of kids all by yourself for a long period of time.
All right, let's open up the phones for the next segment when we come back. 615-737-1025. We will open it up. If you want Titans conversation, you can jump in. If you want to get back to the Vols and Bama from Saturday, Vandy, the Preds, any direction you want to go is fine with us. 737-1025. Also, Broadway remains, as Braden, not to steal your phrase, Broadway remains undefeated.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife came home Saturday night with a big L.
Oh, really?
Big L. The only prediction I got right this weekend.
How are we just now hearing about this?
Give it to you on the other side.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for that. But let me tell you about the internet right now. You need it almost every minute of the day. Hopefully there's some internet video of your wife out on Broadway. That would be great. Because, hey, you've got shows to stream, emails to reply to, and all those LOLs. Smash all those subscribe buttons for, you know, the Game Nashville app, for example. That's why you need Xfinity. You get the fastest, most reliable internet with gig speeds available, so you can get online and get down to business faster. And Xfinity delivers enhanced network security, so all your connected devices are protected. Get instant alerts when strangers are trying to hop onto your network. Set curfews with parental controls and pause your Wi-Fi at dinner time. That's life with Xfinity, the best internet provider in America, according to speedtest.net. Now that's simple, easy, and awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement, or get 4 times the speed for just $10 more a month for 12 months. Plus, add enhanced network security. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Ends 1-7-20. Restrictions apply. New performance start of 25 megabits per second. Internet customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change after term. Regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. A story about Nick's wife when we come back. Wow. Don't go anywhere, Morning Drive.
Nothing like a little chain smokers on a Monday, baby. I don't advocate chain smoking, but...
That's what this is? That's what this is?
This might actually smell worse than the actual chain smoking that you get in public sometimes.
Well, yeah, chain smokers ruined my life last night, so I've got to... We'll get to that in a second, because...
My goodness, I hate chain smokers.
Yeah, I hate chain smokers as well, but... Both,
I'm not going to lie, I do too.
But like, but not just the music group. I also hate the actual chain smokers, and then I also hate the band too. But that's for different reasons. We'll explain later, because your Broadway story sounds way better than my Broadway story.
And you've said many times, Broadway is undefeated.
Never been beaten.
No human being can conquer Broadway.
Nope.
And justifiably so. There's just too much booze, and the human body can only take so much. So family in town came in Friday afternoon into Friday evening. They'll be here through Tuesday. Brother-in-law, his wife, their two daughters, wife's best friend. No in-laws, though. So they wanted to do, because, you know, they're tourists. Wanted to do the whole pedal tavern.
Kyle Terrace?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they wanted to do the pedal tavern.
Whoa. They did a pedal tavern.
They did.
So your brother-in-law was a woo girl?
No. We stayed home and watched college football Saturday night with the kids.
Smart man.
While the wife and the two other friends and sister-in-law and best friend-in-law, whatever.
So they're a bunch of they're a bunch of woo girls.
Correct.
Okay.
So they go out, and I said, as soon as this was booked weeks in advance, I said, Kristen, I know you're going to get trashed. You're going to come home and you're going to puke everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Now, keep in mind,
is
I went
okay with you telling this.
Yes,
story?
She knows. Now, keep in mind, Saturday I went 1-5 against the spread in college football.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't pick my nose. I couldn't pick my butt. But if I got one prediction right,
that is disgusting.
It was that my wife would vomit,
uh-huh.
And she came home Saturday night, and I'm telling you, the noises I heard and the smells that I consumed, no human being should have to go through.
It's like labor.
She was useless on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
So she got destroyed. Now, keep in mind, I got to take them down. I dropped them off. They Ubered home. I drop them off downtown 20 minutes before Michigan-Penn State kicks.
Uh-huh.
I am going 95 miles an hour, back up 24.
Tweeting about it,
I am like, I will not miss the kickoff for Penn State-Michigan due to a stinking pedal tavern. So all that plays out and everything. But apparently,
so what time did they get home Saturday night?
11:30-ish.
Oh, my God. That's not that late at all.
They were only out for 5-6 hours.
That's not that late at all.
They're all trashed. I mean, it's just disgusting.
Did they all stay with you?
Well, they stayed in different rooms, but I can still smell and hear everything. But now here's my question.
Uh-huh. I can smell.
They took an Uber home, or at least that was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
They got into an Uber. By the way, my wife texts me. She goes, what's our address?
Wow.
I go, wow. Oh,
that's, that's like a Nick move, though.
Yeah,
she didn't know the address. Trash. She was so drunk.
Oh, my God.
So the Uber gets them, and apparently they make a stop or whatever in the Uber because they're all throwing up.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Uber driver kicks him out.
Oh, wow.
Well, of course, because if you vomit in an Uber, isn't it like $100 or $200? Like, it's a heavy fine if you puke in an Uber.
So what happened? Where did they drop him off at?
So my bro, I don't know where they got dropped off at, but my brother-in-law, because I was like, I took him down, you go get him.
I did my job.
Okay.
Where did they get dropped off?
I don't know where they got dropped off. I don't have the specifics because I was, too...
Do some digging for us. Find out where they got dropped.
So your brother-in-law had to go pick them up.
Correct.
They're walking down Nolensville Road at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out here, Saturday. Okay, is Jim Harbaugh going to get a backdoor cover? Is Bama going to cover the number against Tennessee? I've got wives throwing up. Brother-in-law's making car runs.
You had an eventful weekend.
I did.
And
the only pick I got right.
And I got the over-under on Michigan.
You did.
And I had in the Michigan Bay did in fact backdoor cover,
but you had downtown drama as well.
I had drama yesterday, so I walked out of the Ryman last night about 11 o'clock, maybe 11:15 or so, after the Jason Isbell show, the greatest songwriter of our generation, doing his residency, and there were cars every lane and every spot on Fourth Avenue and Broadway, and all the way up to Korean Veterans was packed, completely stopped. So I have to find a ride home. Like I walk out of the Ryman, I normally just pull up the Uber app, jump in an Uber, and go. Or downtown's actually the only place you really can just like hail a taxi, uh-huh. right? And so I live 4 miles, maybe 5 miles from downtown. It's not. It should be a $9 Uber at most, but because of these people, And when I say you people, I mean the band The Chainsmokers, which I did not know.
Okay.
Was
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah,
thanks.
Which I did not know was a thing.
The band The Chainsmokers?
I've never heard of them. I don't know what they're doing. They're, I guess they're at Bridgestone last night, and I guess people like them. I don't know. So it's just so dead packed. So I'm like, all right, I'll walk over the pedestrian bridge just to get out of the fray so I can get an Uber. That's not it. The Uber charge, $37 to go 5 miles last night because of the Chainsmokers.
Good Lord.
And I'm going, okay, that's not going to work. I'm not going to do that. Just on principle alone, I'm not going to do that. So I walk over the Shelby Bridge and I get over to the Titan Stadium. I'm like, all right, should be cheaper. $29.
Why you just didn't get a scooter?
I saw one of the birds and I was like, I was like, if I could remember my password to my app, I would totally get that bird scooter right now. And you're right, I would have done it, and it would have cost me maybe like $5. So I just kept walking. I just kept going. Now, it was a nice night. It was a beautiful evening. I got a nice little stroll in. I get over the interstate. I'm into my neighborhood. I get up to Woodland. I'm going to.
So you had on walking shoes?
I had on my walking shoes. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I was good. And so I just kept going. I keep looking at the Uber app, and it's like $37. Then it's down to $29 at the Titan Stadium, which is so stupid because there's no game going on at the time. This is like 11 o'clock at night, and there's no traffic anywhere to go 4 miles to my house. So I just keep walking. Just kept going.
So you just walk home.
So about 11:30, I'm almost at Five Points, which is like a good two miles from the Ryman. I've walked almost a mile and a half at this point, and it finally says $7, $8 or whatever for the Uber. I was like, finally. So I sat down. And I said, come get me now, boys. Come pick me up. And a really nice, wonderful guy picked me up, had a great conversation, and
I think I would have been committed to the walk by then.
It was a nice night. I actually didn't mind it at all, and I love walking, so it doesn't bother me at all. I've walked from Titans games back to my house before, and it's not. I don't mind a mile and a half walk, whatever. Take a 20-minute walk, it's fine. But this was like a 4.5-mile walk, so it just was a little too far. I was about 2 miles from my house, and I was like, no, I'm taking the $7 Uber.
Forget this.
It's finally a reasonable price. But $37 for a 5-mile trip versus $9 for a 2-mile trip, like it was so stupid.
It was at, what do they call it, peak?
I don't know.
Peak time?
It must have been the Chainsmokers that did it. It had to have been the Chainsmokers that caused this because they must have jacked up their rates because there were so many cars downtown last night.
Yeah, trying to get through downtown.
It was insane. And last question, what do people do when you get in an Uber? Do you go front seat?
I go back seat. I'm not getting in front seat.
Unless I have to. I feel weird in both places.
Do you?
I see. So I feel
just
weird.
Sit on the roof.
No, I don't twerk, Derek.
Twerk on the roof.
I feel weird sitting in the front seat because then I don't want to be like in someone's personal space in their car, like in their business.
Yeah, I don't know you like
but
that.
But I don't like sitting in the back seat because then I feel like you're my driver. Take me around. I'm paying for it now. Right, but it feels a little like, you know, like, hey, driver, take me here. Like,
so what you could do
I feel a little
is
weird in both places.
Sit on the armrest, like 1 foot in the front seat, 1 foot in the back seat.
So I always ask. I go, where do you want, you know, front seat or back seat? What's comfortable for you? And he was like, wherever you want, man. So I just jumped in the front seat, and we had a great conversation.
Oh, cool.
You know, for that 2 mile, $7 ride, that should have happened.
Because of the Chainsmokers.
These damn Chainsmokers. You're all going to die, by the way. You're all going to die.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way.
Maybe we could throw the band in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Update from the wife, text message. We were dropped off at a gas station somewhere.
I was going to say, if she was that drunk, though.
Could have been a BP, could have been a MAPCO, who knows? Sudden service?
How long?
Did she get
I can
a
tell
dog?
You, how long did it take you, how much time did it take to, for your brother-in-law to get back?
Close to 45 minutes.
Oh, they were almost downtown. Ooh,
They were either
at 65 or at 24.
There's only two good ways. Or maybe Nolensville Road. You might shoot down Nolensville Road to get to your house, too. So those are the three good ways to go to your house. But, like, they must not have made it very far.
Yeah, goodness gracious. The Uber just kicked them out.
There's five drunk chicks walking down Nolensville at 11:30 on a Saturday night.
The best is I come down Sunday morning at, like, 9:15 or so. They're all laying on the couches in the living room like bumps on a log, totally just worthless human beings.
Any mimosas going?
I have a cup of coffee from, you know, I went and made my coffee run to Starbucks. I come back and go, hey, girls, you guys want some sangria? A couple shots of vodka? Anybody thirsty? Oh, what? No, you're not feeling it? No booze until Thanksgiving? Grown-up decision. Now you got to live with it.
You probably was bad.
I feel great today.
Oh, my goodness. You're probably just so bad today, man.
I get in the business.
Yeah.
You know, you realize when you start making adult decisions, right? Like last night, I go to a Ryman show. I'm exhausted. I've had a stressful weekend. And I spent more on water than I did on booze. Like, you know you're getting old when you're like, I had one drink and I had two bottles of water. Like that's you know you're getting old when you're starting to spend more money on water than you do on your drinks.
All right, good stuff today. 615-737-1025. If you want to get in, we've had a lot of good Titans conversation, a lot of good stuff on the Vols, Vandy, mixed in a little Preds from the weekend as well. We'll do two things when we come back. We're going to go around the NFL, but we do have to touch on one of the biggest stories of the weekend from college football as well, because one team that Derek Mason loves might have just ruined next Saturday for all of us. Back after this on Morning Drive. 9:31 back in here on a Monday. Good to have you in here, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The big finish coming up at 9:45. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise with you. We will get to the... do we want to go around the NFL first, or do we want to go to the college world first?
Go to college world
go
first.
Go to college first. Okay. D-Mace, last week, Top 4 Tuesday.
Yeah.
You had the Wisconsin Badgers in your top four for the playoff.
Yes, I did.
And as a 30.5-point favorite this past week, they lost to Illinois, who is coached by Lovie Smith, who is now morphed into Santa Claus.
Yeah, the black Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You know, we saw it 2 weeks ago with Georgia, South Carolina. I don't know if Georgia was overlooking South Carolina, but they had turnovers. It just wasn't a game that Georgia thought they were going to play, especially at home. They lose. So that was the first big upset when you're talking ranked teams, top five teams. Fast forward a few weeks later, you have, you know, Wisconsin, who has the best defense in the country, you know, coached by Jim Leonard, who I play with.
He is a really sharp dude.
He's a really sharp guy.
Should be the head coach of Wisconsin.
He might be in a little while. He's an alum of Wisconsin. Yep. But, you know, they were setting themselves up for this showdown with Ohio State, because you figure whoever wins that game more than likely go to Big Ten Championship and win and go to playoffs. Maybe, just maybe, I don't know. Maybe, just maybe, they were looking ahead. They were up 20-7, and maybe they took their foot off the gas pedal and say, hey, we got this. Our defense is fine. We got it. We can cruise on in and prepare for Ohio State the next following week. And they end up losing. Now, here is the part that makes it hard when you look at these two teams, meaning Georgia and Wisconsin. Georgia can lose and still, I believe, still, if they run the table, they can get into the playoffs. Wisconsin, I think they're done. I really do think they're done, because they would then have to beat Ohio State and then come back and win the Big Ten Championship.
Oh, by the way, Minnesota's undefeated.
Exactly.
They'll play
Minnesota's
them in the final
undefeated
week of the regular season
in their conference. I know they've already beaten Michigan, but I think they were looking ahead to Ohio State. I don't think they have an opportunity, even if they would have to run the table and win the Big Ten Championship for them to have to be even mentioned.
Yeah.
In a playoff scenario. I think because they play in the Big Ten, because who they played, the loss against Illinois, which was a bad loss.
And that
was a bad loss.
That is the key right there. The committee has shown us that you can lose a game.
Mm-hmm.
The committee has shown us that it's okay. You know, Clemson has played in the national title game twice after losing to a 4-8 Syracuse team and a Pittsburgh team. It's okay. If Georgia loses South Carolina, South Carolina is not a terrible team. They're not great, but they're not terrible. Illinois is terrible.
Yeah.
They were a 30.5-point favorite. It is the second largest upset in the history of Big Ten football. Northwestern won a game as a 32-point underdog in 1982. That's how rare this loss was for Wisconsin. And I feel uniquely qualified to speak about this as someone who was born three generations in the city of Madison, Wisconsin, who was raised in a University of Wisconsin family. And I need this. You know how when you're in AA, you need like to call your sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're having moments of trouble and you need to call your sponsor to get to have a conversation so that you can kind of recenter yourself and you know, kind of stay on the wagon on course. I need one of those right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name is Braden.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be a Wisconsin fan. I've been clean since Russell Wilson in 2011,
mm-hmm.
lost on two Hail Marys
mm.
to Michigan State, your Spartans.
Yeah,
thanks, Kirk Cousins, jerk. Thanks, Braxton and Braxton Miller with Ohio State, who also threw a Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best Wisconsin team that's ever been assembled, and they still ripped out the heart of my family. That's when I hit rock bottom, and I knew that I had to change my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I've stopped rooting for Wisconsin, and it has made my falls so much better,
mm-hmm.
because every year I've got to face those demons. And yesterday, on Saturday, Saturday was that day.
Mm.
I was more prepared to handle Saturday. Now, my 96-year-old grandfather might have died, but I was able to handle it because mm-hmm. I've been on the Wisconsin wagon for almost a decade now,
uh-huh.
and I've been clean, and I've stayed clean. And it means I didn't get affected at all by what took place on Saturday when they lost as a 30.5-point favorite to Illinois. My father was...
I'm sure he was upset.
I could not talk to my father on Saturday. He was like, don't talk to me. And that does not happen very often.
Oh, wow.
Especially, imagine my family, right?
Well, because they know that they've all but ruined their shot at a
playoff. You can't lose
playoff.
To terrible yeah. teams and still get into the playoff. You can't lose ugly in bad fashion.
Well, that's what happened to Ohio State. They lost.
You got bowl race.
Yeah, and that cost them.
You give up 57 to Iowa, you don't get in.
Mm-hmm.
You get smoked by a 6-6 Purdue team, you don't get in. You lose a close game. You know, it's very different. Like, Michigan State got in, and they lost to a 5-7 Nebraska team.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because it was a close game. You lose close games, the committee goes, okay, you're allowed one slip-up.
Mm-hmm.
You can lose a close game to South Carolina. And by the way, South Carolina would be like a 2 or 3 touchdown favorite over Illinois.
Yeah, they would.
So people on Twitter that are trying to tell me that these losses are the same is just ridiculous. So I'm sorry I needed that. Thank you, guys. You know, every now and then you got to call your sponsor, and you need to... recenter and refocus, and that I needed that this weekend because I'm prepared for moments like this.
Now, Brayden, how do you feel now?
I feel cleansed. I feel better. Maybe because I went to the bathroom during the break, but
I feel relieved.
You didn't happen to run into my wife in there, did you?
she was in the different bathroom. But there were some bizarre noises coming from that other bathroom.
Good. She deserves it.
I feel better. Thank you, guys.
Let's go around the NFL, Hollywood.
Credit to the Ravens, and they're playing a lot of man-to-man defense. It's allowing them to stick with those complicated pass concepts.
Third down and 6. Try to go long first, and the pass is intercepted. Marcus Peters! And he scores! Extra offensive lineman. Jackson. First down, touchdown!
Now, it's been a strange season for the Ravens because, I mean, they get wins against the Bengals and the Steelers and the Dolphins and Cardinals, and everybody's like, oh, they're just beating up on bad teams, get a loss to the Chiefs, and then they lose to the Browns as well. But now they beat a team that quite possibly could have an MVP player in Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
What are we thinking about this Ravens team now that they finally beat a contender?
I think they're a good team.
They're going to win the division.
And, of course, you know, because this is the way life goes for Nick Cale on NFL Sundays, I laid the 3.5 with the Seahawks yesterday. It was one of my 3 picks. Russell Wilson, speaking of picks, has not thrown an interception all year. They're up 10-6, ready to make it, or they're up 13-6, I believe, ready to make it 20-6. And he throws a pick 6 to Marcus Peters that changed the whole dynamic of that game.
Yeah, it did. They had some fumbles. They had turnovers in that game. Here's the story of that game, man. Again. You know, what Lamar is able to do, he's basically Michael Vick 2.0. That's just what he is. His ability, he throws it well to the tight ends. He's getting better with all the other stuff, but he throws it well to the tight ends in the middle of the field. But he's dynamic when he has the ball in his hand and he's running. He becomes the 12th or 13th man on the field, and you have to cover sideline to sideline when he has the ball in his hands.
Is this one of those things where two things can exist? Like, when I watch the Ravens play, like, clearly Lamar Jackson is the guy that makes that engine go.
Of course.
If it was still Joe Flacco, I don't think the Ravens would be 5-2, That being said, I still have my doubts about Lamar Jackson long-term longevity-wise.
I think it's fair to ask questions about what does it look like in a defensive showing in the playoffs, where the Chargers, last year when the Chargers had all their healthy pieces and were a very good defensive team, mm-hmm. totally shut him down in the playoffs. Now, that was his first year, but then there's tape on him now, too. So it goes back and forth. Like, we'll just see. And listen, enjoy the ride. Let's just enjoy watching him play right now.
He's up to a whopping 63.3% passing.
I never would have thought that.
Which is better than Louisville.
Yeah, exactly.
He was in the 50s at Louisville.
So if he can stay at that 60, mid-60s, it's going to be hard to beat them.
Yeah. They're a good team.
Now, I would not to be a hater on Lamar Jackson, but I would love to know, of those 63, 64%, how many of those are high-percentage throws? Because Marcus last year was 68%, but everything was 10 yards and in.
Yeah, I think, listen, he's eighth right now in the NFL in rushing.
Mm-hmm.
He should be in the MVP consideration.
As a quarterback.
Yeah.
So, and his yards per carry is off the charts. Mm-hmm.
He's
so,
averaging 7.7 yards per pass. I don't know where that ranks at in the NFL.
That's probably top third. That's where Marcus normally was in his career. His yards per carry on the ground, though. Mm-hmm. Is off the charts. Like, the other guys that are in his range, like 7th, 8th, 9th in rushing, they've got 110, 120 carries. He's got 69 carries. He's averaging almost twice as many yards per rush as the other guys are, which means he's picking up like 8, 9 yards a carry.
Cordarrelle Patterson with some running room, and look out! The big fella's across the 50. He's inside the 30. Breaks a tackle to the 10. Patterson goes the distance. 102 yards! Throw to Hill, and he's into the end zone for a touchdown.
The Saints, man, they just keep on winning. Keep on winning. And this is without Jared Cook. This is without Alvin Kamara. This is just Teddy Bridgewater and a bunch of other guys that you probably have never heard of, but they're winning games. And
all that guy does is win and cover.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
And so I'm going to ask you guys, and obviously Aaron Rodgers had a big game last night too against the Raiders. Is it safe to say that the Saints are the best team in the NFC right now, even without Drew Brees, who's coming back?
No, I mean, I think between Saints, Packers, 49ers, I think there's a handful of really top-flight teams.
But I think clearly Matt LaFleur is the greatest coach in NFL history. Yeah. So,
I think if you look at, you know, where this offense is at, losing Drew Brees, you know, for these many weeks, I don't think many people thought they would – you know, be in the position they're in now. So you can say, based upon losing a Hall of Fame quarterback, yeah, they are the best team in the NFC. Now, San Fran fans might have a, you know, bone to pick with that, or even Green Bay, but they have been able to do this without their Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, there's no question. Yep.
Jimmy G now 15-2 as a starter.
They're doing it ugly, though, too. Like yesterday was a bad rainy game, but they were doing it. They're running the football. And I love the line from Shanahan where he said, I can't remember the exact quote, but he basically was like, I want coaches to be terrified of our running game and having to scheme and prepare, because then he can do all the other stuff in the offense.
Yep. I mean, you look Niners, Saints, Packers in the NFC. You go to the AFC with the Patriots, Bills,
your
Colts.
Your boy, by the way, since apologizing, Kirk Cousins, has been spectacular.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for giving him a vote of confidence.
No problem.
It's your fault.
I know the second I bet on Kirk Cousins, he'll go back in the tank.
You like that?
As a Packers fan, could you bet on him now, today, please?
Whatever you need to do, I'll bet on it, and it'll go the opposite way. Like Russell Wilson was an MVP until yesterday.
Just bet on the Vikings.
Of course, because I bet on him.
Blame it on yourself and Zach Brown. That's why he's doing so well now.
Oh, and by the way, and Teron Davenport's in the studio with Marquise right now. The Eagles, embarrassed last night by the Cowboys.
I told you they was going to get beat down.
How about this number? Since they won the Super Bowl, 13-12. 500 teams since winning the Super Bowl.
Made the playoffs last year, though.
I know. I think that Doug Peterson thing might be wearing off just a little bit.
Oh, my God. He won a Super Bowl in Philly.
They're injured, too.
You win a Super Bowl in Philly.
He was running his mouth last week. We're going to go into Dallas, and when we leave, we're going to be in first place.
Ridiculous.
Cowboys win by 27.
I told you they were going to get beat down.
You did. You called that.
Mm-hmm.
You did say Dallas. Much different team when Tyron Smith is back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Big finish next.
Listen, you can't ever make Philly fans happy, right? You win a Super Bowl, and it still doesn't make them happy. Here's what I'll guarantee. I guarantee you'll be happy with your service from Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. I guarantee it. They come to your house. They check up your entire system, make sure there's no big flaws. They'll give you great information, all the diagnostic information you could possibly need to make a great decision moving forward. Do you need an upgrade here? Do you need a new part there? Do you need a replacement here? They'll give you great financing options. Right now, though, join the Comfort Club. This is the time of year you need to be joining the Comfort Club. They give you your house a checkup twice a year. Right now is the time because you're about to head in. You just finished the hot season where the AC unit's working overtime, and you're about to head in to the really cool areas of the calendar where your pipes are working overtime and the heater's working overtime. You need to make sure all that stuff is up to date, refreshed, ready to go, healthy, smooth, working smoothly and efficiently. It'll save you money in the short term. It'll definitely save you money in the long term. This is why Spring Hill Heating and Cooling has never had a bad customer complaint ever. I mean, I don't know. Don't fact check me on that. But I'm pretty sure they've literally are batting 1,000. And listen, this is a company that's locally owned, and they've expanded double the size of their company because you've rewarded them with their business because they've done such a good job taking care of your homes that they now have a second office out there on the west side on Highway 100 south of Dixon. So check them out, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We're not using the other guys anymore. We only use them. SpringHillAC.com is the website. SpringHillAC.com.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
That is correct. Time for the Big Finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. And the Big Finish, Braden Gall, brought to you by
Nashville SC. Did not win the Eastern Conference Championship, but man, they finished second place. Congratulations on a great year. So Nashville Soccer Club, NashvilleSC.com is the home for all your ticket needs for MLS inaugural season next year. NashvilleSC.com. And they got a playoff game coming up. Really cool stuff. Great season by Nashville SC.
Hollywood, let's get to the rewind. And we welcome you into a Monday edition of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game. I won't be a prisoner of the moment and say that Ryan Tannehill saved the season, but I do think Ryan Tannehill yesterday extended the season, at least for 1 week, with a really tremendous performance. And I personally would just like to thank the Tennessee Titans and say welcome back and rejoining the National Football League as an offensive team.
Welcome back, welcome back.
From what I've seen, each time he's been in a game, going back to the preseason, and I know that was against second, and when he was playing, it's probably against second teamers, but when he's in a game, the offense looks different. It runs different. He gets to his assignments quicker. He gets to the routes quicker. He's not scared with trying to put the ball in there. He believes in his arm, and he's not scared with trying to get the ball in the tight places. I think the offense flows much better when Tannehill is in the game. Not to say that he's the savior of this team and he's the end-all, be-all. And he might have a stretch where, you know, for 4 or 5 games he plays well and then, you know, he doesn't play well. But I think Arthur Smith is not afraid to call plays when Ryan's in the game. He's not afraid to do some things that he probably wouldn't have done had Marcus was in the game.
Go out and do it again. Yesterday was great. Show us week in and week out, because what's the argument with Marcus? Well, we see it once every now and then. He plays against a bad team, and he lights them up, and then there's no consistency. That's the concern with Marcus Mariota. We saw him do this, what Ryan Tannehill did yesterday, a couple of weeks ago. Literally 3 games ago, he lit up a bad defense, and they got a win. I need to see it now from Tannehill against good defenses, against high-level teams, consistently week in and week out. I did see one Charger fan at about 11:30 at night sitting on the walking bridge by himself.
Did you go check on
him? He was breathing. He was fine.
Okay.
He was sitting upright. His eyes were open. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure if he knew where he was.
You sure it wasn't Melvin Gordon?
I don't think he had any clue where he was.
Did he have a Sean Merriman jersey on?
Yeah.
No, he had on a...
That's lights out.
I think he had 17, so I think it was Rivers. Right? Rivers is 17, right?
Yeah. Was it a black guy with dreads posing as Phillip Rivers? Because
no.
It could have been Gordon sitting on the bridge.
Trying to get that new contract?
Speaking of Rivers.
No, fumbling the ball.
No, this was a frumpy white dude.
Speaking of frumpy white dudes, Joe Dubin from Channel 4 with a tweet of the day yesterday says, I'm expecting the game to be sold out because all of Phillip Rivers' children will actually be in attendance.
Oh, you shouldn't have went there.
I mean, Phillip Rivers has more kids than Sean Kemp. Yeah. Phillip Rivers here for Cool Springs MD. When I'm not going 9-7 in the AFC West, I'm doing the deed.
I'm making babies.
So the tweet that the Titans sent out yesterday after the goal line stand and the win, a couple minutes go by, and I'm assuming somebody gets a really smart, clever idea in the Titans facility, and they send out a tweet. Nick will now perform a dramatic interpretation.
I don't want them to gain another yard. They cross that line of scrimmage, I'm going to take each and every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans. We welcome in our pal Corey Curtis from News 2.
Give the quarterback time. You run the football. You cut out negative plays, and good things can happen. Ryan Tannehill played like a pro, and his line played like a pro in front of him. And, you know, it was similar to what we saw against the Falcons, and they made plays down the field. And it's just, you know, it's boring to say that it all goes together, but it all goes together.
Well, let's go to Knoxville as we welcome in our pal Wes Rucker.
They see how much better that team's gotten on the line of scrimmage. I mean, they're frustrated, you know, with the way it ended, but I think Garantano's the one taking a lot of the blame for that, to be honest with you. They've seen him make those kind of mistakes before, so that's where things kind of are now. But I think in general, now there's still frustration over those first two losses of the season. Those are still there, and they're still haunting kind of everything. But I don't think anyone can doubt how much this team has improved throughout the year, and I think they see some reasons to believe. It's just, you know, they just hate the way it ended, but you know, those are games that over the past dozen years, Bama's found ways to win and Tennessee's found ways to lose. And that's just kind of how it's going to be until they change the culture.
Jared Garantano should not play another snap the rest of this year.
Why does no one else on your offense know what you're about to run?
He basically ad-libbed and said, you know what, I'm going to take it into my own hands, and then I'm going to expose the ball at the goal line. Down 14, would have been a 7-point game. Trayvon Diggs runs it back 108 yards, and it's a 21-point game, and the game's over. And then people got to lose their mind on Twitter about, you know, Jeremy Pruitt over, you know, slightly tugging the face mask. I don't want to hear anymore, oh, these are kids. This is the SEC. This is big boy football. This isn't Pop Warner. If Jeremy Pruitt did that to a 9-year-old, I'd have an issue. He was supposed to be a strength of this team. He's been nothing but a liability, and he decides to say, you know what, I'm going to play backyard football, and I'm going to, you know, damn Jim Chaney, damn Pruitt, I'm just going to go up and over, and I'm going to cost my team a chance to compete in the fourth quarter. Thanks a lot, JG. And right now, Darren McFarland here to talk Preds for a couple of minutes.
Look, you can't play from behind all the time. Like, it's nice. And I remember last week I came on and told you guys, like, look, this team is the best third period team in the league. Well, that continues to be that way. It's like not even close. They have 19 goals in the third period, which is not even – second place has 12. Which is great, right? Which means you can provide comeback. You have that spark, that energy when you need it. But the problem is, kind of going back to what I said before, a lot of those cases it's because you're constantly battling back and from behind. And that's a recipe in an 82-game season for disaster. It's just going to end poorly more times than not. You don't want to be playing from behind all the time.
Boomer Sooner, it fell out.
Dude, that's the funniest thing I've seen all weekend.
I'm glad nobody was hurt.
Gus Johnson's like, boy, that was scary. Ha ha! Jalen Hurts. Oklahoma rolling. Partner, Joe Klatt. Norman, Oklahoma.
He does kind of speak in like, he just like yells words at you.
C.D. Lamb. Had a lamb chop last night, partner. They know how to cook meat down here in the Big 12. Ha ha! Derek Mason.
That's our Derek Mason.
Fired up. And that is the Morning Drive Daily Rewind.
There's a lot of dude in the studio right now.
Lots of dudes.
Yeah. So many dudes in here.
A lot of testosterone.
Brodeo 2019.
We're all going to be trying out for Cody Parkey's job.
Doink.
All right, that's it for us. Have a great rest of your Monday. Stay tuned. Darren, Donick, and Chase are coming up next. And as one man once famously said when he signs off on his social media posts, I'm just saying, take care.
Bailey DJ Nashville, I love you.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dix.com/scorecardplus for details.